believe we've been holding poor Tony Lee on the line. Are you there, Tony?
I am, Phil. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. And I do appreciate you joining us. I know you're a busy fellow. And give us a title of your book and where people can buy it.
Well, yes, thank you. The truth about the 37 GM Oshawa strike is available from Baraka Books and the publisher. And I think that's what people need to know.
Well, thanks very much. I really, in times like these, the precedent of the way those workers fought in 37 is absolutely relevant for our, in terms of tactical choices. And I know you have some things to say about that, because your union is faced with some pretty nasty developments. Now, the last time we spoke to you, and the reason we need to talk to you again, was I believe that Brother Doug Ford was at the Unifor rally and saying, by golly, we're going to do something here. We're not going to let Stellantis push us around. And I don't know if, when he had, when it was Royal, was it Royal Crown? He took a stand and he actually poured stuff out of the bottle, a la Donald Trump, a real show. I don't see, you're going to slash GM tires? Or what's he going to do for this?
Turns out what he's going to do is run ads at the World Series.
Yes, could you talk about that? Is that helpful? What do you make of that?
I think it's a PR stunt, as the Ontario Federation of Labour said. I don't think that it does anything to create any solutions here, and it's just promoting himself as somehow the hotshot leader. But at the same time that he is slashing funding for education and health care and attacking workers and tenants, it's really laughable that anybody could consider Doug Ford to be on our side in these battles.
That's kind of important, isn't it? The OFL actually spoke out immediately on this, Ontario Federation of Labour. Good for them.
Yes.
The big the big story of the past days was, of course, this news from Ingersoll. Tell us what that's all about.
Ingersoll is the location of a General Motors plant, which is called CAMI. It was originally set up as a joint venture of General Motors and Suzuki back in the mid-80s and produced cars with both name tags on them for a while. But eventually, Suzuki bowed out and GM took it over. So it's been a GM plant since then. And at its peak, probably had about 2,500 workers and went through a period that a lot of Canadian plants have been experiencing of downsizing, and the models they were producing being moved to other places. And the solution that was proposed a couple of years ago is that the plant would be retooled to build electric commercial vans, delivery vans for GM. It's called the Bright Drop. Mm-hmm. Wasn't such a bright idea, and it kind of dropped the ball.
Yes, bright and drop.
It never sold very well. It was considered to be too expensive. No slight on the workers that worked very hard in that plant to completely convert the plant and do a very good job building the new vehicle, but they didn't design the vehicle or market it, and it's been a big flop. I think they actually sold 1,500 in 2024, which is obviously not sustainable for a modern vehicle assembly plant. I think they were rated for up to 75,000, so they were not anywhere close to hitting their target, and they were shut down in April, I believe, of this year, and told that it was for pause and retooling, and that in November, half of the workers would be recalled to operate on one shift instead of two shifts. So they were going to be, I think, down to 600 or 700 workers out of 1,200 that were left. And then just recently, GM announced that they are not going to continue with the bright drop. And so all of those workers are now on indefinite layoff.
And it's kind of kicking the can down the road, right? So that everybody, so 6 months from now, people are going to say, well, and what's happening? And they say, well, that plan has been postponed. We got another plan. It's one of those sort of situations, right? We're sort of attrition.
It's I consider it to be a rather nasty ploy by the corporations, and Stellantis is doing it, GM is doing it, of saying, well, we're looking to see if we can put another product in Ingersoll, or we're looking to see if we've got another product for Brampton assembly. And as things stand with the economic and political situation, I don't believe they're being honest at all, but they don't want to face the consequences of admitting that that they've got nothing for those workers.
This is Taylor Report CIT at 9.5 FM. And there's another layoff or ending of a plant in Quebec. What is that story?
PACCAR produces heavy-duty trucks, also mostly for the U.S. market, which is the nature of the vehicle assembly in Canada. It's almost all for U.S. market. And at their peak, they had 1,400 jobs. They're down to 800, and 300 of them are being laid off right now because the company says they're laying off everybody who's producing vehicles for export to the United States. So they've gone from 96 trucks per day, they're going to go down to 16. Obviously, that's not sustainable either. And like all of the companies that we're talking about, it is not a Canadian company. It's a Belgian-French company. PACCAR. No, I'm thinking of another one. But all of these companies are, PACCAR's based in the U.S. But all of these companies that we're talking about are based in other countries and make their decisions based on that, on their profitability and on the politics that they want to be on the right side of.
And so, I mean, you have to say the Trump plan promise is working for Trump. He's getting what he wants.
Yes. I think that any honest appraisal would admit that. And when, you know, the U.S. Representative meets privately with big shots in Toronto and tells them vehicle assembly is going to be in the United States. Get used to it. U.S. is number one, and you know Canada has to be number two. I think that we need to take him at his word. That is the policy, and that is how it's playing out.
Yeah. Now, the federal government, Ms. Jolie, said, well, we're going to put a tariff. Well, explain what her position is and whether this is going to affect, move the needle, as they now say.
With both GM and Stellantis, the federal government gave them a remission of duty for vehicles imported into Canada. And that was because the Carney government had imposed reciprocal tariffs on U.S. vehicles when Trump imposed vehicle duties on Canadian vehicles going to the U.S. So what the Carney government said was, if you maintain production levels and jobs in Canada, you'll have a certain number of vehicles you can import into Canada without duty. They won't reveal what that number is. The whole deal is secret, as most of these deals are, which is one problem. But then last week, in the light of the announcement for the CAMI plant and the situation in Brampton, they announced that GM and Stellantis had violated that deal and to maintain jobs in Canada. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they were going to have their quota of vehicles that they're allowed to import without duty cut. So GM's quota is cut by 50% and Stellantis by 24%. So, but we don't know how many that is. Mm-hmm. But that is the response of the government. And it's interesting that the company, GM, Ford, and Stellantis, who have an association that speaks for them, was very hostile to that announcement and basically threatened that if the government persisted in that approach, that it jeopardized all auto investment in Canada. So they're definitely playing hardball, and it's very hard to...
So we try to protect ourselves, and they get mad at that.
They're mad
and
at
we,
our government.
Have we, you know, when they hear on our little politicians leap to their feet, they always say, oh, China's cheating, they subsidize. We really subsidize these guys. And when we say, hey, you're not living up to your agreement, they get mad at us.
Yes. We should let them do what they want. You know, that's what they're telling us, and that hasn't worked out for us well.
I feel like the guy in the bar. My money's no good in here.
the amount of money, and you mentioned it a couple of times, is rather insane. And I wish people would look at it a little more closely. Doug Nesbitt has written about it. He's got a Substack.
Say that name again in Substack.
Yes, Doug Nesbitt, mm-hmm. And his Substack is called, we'll find it here, it's worth a look at. It's called the Kingston Labor News, and he's writing because another of these projects, which is being halted or paused, is outside of Kingston. It's called Umicore, and they were supposed to be building a $2.7 billion electric battery parts facility to create 600 jobs. And they were promised $1 billion in subsidies from the federal and provincial government. And by the way, that's just the modest figure of $1.7 million per job that promised. And in his article, Doug Nesbitt has a chart showing all of the investments or planned investments or purported investments in Ontario and Quebec where federal and provincial subsidies have been given. The projects total about $50 billion, and the subsidies total over $47
billion. Hmm. Oof.
they're basically.
But if we, if what do we say? So, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a pretty good deal if you can say that you're going to spend $50 billion, but the government's going to give you back $47 billion of them to these different companies.
Sounds like a shell game.
Yes.
So, well, that on that matter, it is becoming. Permissible to discuss Chinese electrical vehicles. We have, I think, was it David Olive, Toronto Star, and I know Thomas Mulcair talked about it. It's starting to become an option. You want to talk? What are they saying?
Yes. David Olive in The Star said that Canada's trade war with China doesn't make sense, that the 100% tariffs that Canada
imposed. Oh, I forgot
imposed,
the tariffs that we love. Yes, the ones that we love are the ones we put on China, 100%.
100%, which was done in lockstep with the U.S., first the Biden government and then the Trump government, no difference. And it doesn't make sense for Canada, he said. And Adam Radwanski, who was a columnist in the Globe and Mail, had made similar points. And he said that, I like this quote, he said, "Canada is stuck in an increasingly abusive relationship with the three traditional North American automakers, and that we need other long-term strategic options." And he says the most pressing, though contentious, place to start is with the China question. So I think a lot of people are coming to recognize, or being forced to recognize,
rubbing their eyes, waking up,
that China's auto industry has, by leaps and bounds, moved far ahead of everywhere else in the world, far ahead of certainly the North American players. They are producing better vehicle, more advanced technology, and more affordable vehicle. Mm-hmm. And BYD is one of the leaders, but there's actually dozens of Chinese vehicle assembly companies, and several of them are very advanced.
You know, if I could just ask you or make this point, and those are very well, I'm really glad you cited those writers because, okay, that's a rational option, but we have a problem of being hung on our own petard because the question is, are we a reliable partner? Because China would look at us, one assumes, and say, well, we've had business in your country, but funny things happened. And now you're talking about us investing billions and billions, right? We have to be a grown-up and say, yes, you. We promise not to pull any rug out from under your feet.
Absolutely. The starting point would have to be reversing the tariffs that Canada imposed for entirely political reasons and entirely at the behest of the United States. And we should eat some crow and say that was a mistake and we're going to undo it. And by the way, it's hurting other parts of the Canadian population because the response from China was to impose duties on Canadian canola and other products that are costing Canadian farmers something like $1 billion a year. So let's undo that mistake and start on a new basis.
And be a trustworthy trade partner.
That would be a yes.
You know, we're very Trump-like when you think about it. I mean, in a matter of fact, it was at Trump's behest that we arrested an executive of a major Chinese company, and the whole thing, you know, evaporated because it was simply a Trump thing. But we were the Trumpier. We were as Trump as he was, and obviously they're not going to want to have a deal with such a partner.
Yeah, we were acting at his behest, which makes us even worse, I would argue, because it didn't. We paid the price. We suffered consequences, but it wasn't in our interest. It was in his interest.
Yeah, there's the abusive relationship. And we're speaking to Tony Leo, and a Unifor activist, author. Tony, I don't think the press has picked up on the fact that the Ingersoll, the leader of members and leaders of the Ingersoll local, have been saying what they think of this business. Can you tell us what is going on there and how they're reacting to the news of the closing?
Yes. Unifor, both the local in Ingersoll, Local 88, and the local in Brampton, Local 1285, have asked people to attend rallies this Wednesday morning at 8:30 at their plants to support their fight to maintain jobs, supported by the national union, Unifor. And in the case of the Ingersoll local, the plant chair at that plant, in a video message to his members, told people that they were not going to take this situation lying down, that they were going to act to protect their jobs and take any actions that they felt were necessary. And, you know, I just read you a little bit of the message. And this is him talking to his members. He says, "We have told the government, we told the president, I told GM, Bill Harkness, that's the manager of the TAMI facility in Ingersoll. If they take one thing out of our plant, anything, one piece of equipment, one supply, I don't care what they take, we're going to take the plant over." And he says they're making a phone list, and you might get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, but you better be ready to show up at the plant because we're going to take the plant over.
Whoa, he told the members that.
He told the members
be
that.
Be ready, we'll call you up, even if it's 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
My goodness. We're speaking to Tony Leo. By the way, it's solonet.ca to follow Tony's writing on all these matters. And that phone call potential from the leader of the Ingersoll local dovetails nicely with your book. Because tell us what was going on in 37 that brought the union into being. What did they do?
Well, in 1937, the origins of the United Auto Workers Union were in their decision at the end of 1936, really, to take on General Motors, the most powerful, wealthiest corporation in the world at the time. And the way that they were able to exercise their leverage against GM, exercised the power of workers against GM, was to occupy the Flint GM plant and a few surrounding plants. And that occupation went on for 44 days. It was one of the signal most important turning points in labor history and probably in the 20th century. And we're still benefiting from the courage and determination of those workers. They fought off the police. They persisted when the heat and water was turned off in the middle of winter, and they stood their ground until GM buckled and recognized the union. And that was the inspiration for an outburst of union organizing across the United States and Canada, including in Oshawa. And the organizing in Oshawa happened really weeks after the successful end of the Flint sit-down strike.
Boy, you have to read Tony's book. And the title again before we go?
The Truth About the 37 GM Oshawa Strike.
Yeah, Baraka Books. Tony Leo, thank you very much. It's very informative. We got to stay on top of it because it looks like the great-grandson of 37 might be circling at Ingersoll. So we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And I will remind you, hey, you know, you can get ahead of the crowd and start donating right now, CIUT.FM, and donate. It would be nice of you if you would mention the Taylor Report. And but definitely get behind the sound of your city, CIUT. Because you get to hear a lot of remarkable stuff, such as you just heard.